struggling with our own inconsistencies and uncertainties. And whether we are young or old, the big question for today is this: if confirmation is a strengthening, what kind of strength can we receive from God, the triune God? Now, we're going to take our cue chiefly from the passage we've read in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and you have that in front of you in the order sheet on the first page. Now, believe it or not, these 13 verses in our Bible are actually one mega sentence in the original Greek. Scarcely stopping for breath, Paul is pouring out his praise to God, his wonder at what God has done for us through Christ, what it means for the Ephesians, and potentially what it means for all people everywhere. And what a passage this is! Scholars have searched for ways to describe it. A magnificent gateway to the letter, the overture of an opera, even a snowball tumbling down a hill, increasing in size as it goes, a golden chain with unbroken links, an eagle rising and wheeling round, setting off on its flight. And this passage of scripture is strong stuff, and it contains the key of how we can be strong as Christians. And first, it tells us about strength from the Father who chose us for blessing. Paul begins. I think Charles, you're going to have to take over from me. This is too difficult for me. Okay. Paul begins, "Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." Now, blessing can mean little or nothing, or in this case, much and everything. And we get an idea of such blessing where a child is born into a family where the parents had always wanted this baby, unfailingly loved the little one, and constantly speak words of encouragement, words that bring happiness. And we call this child blessed, and we believe that he or she will grow up secure and strong. So what kind of blessing is it that we receive from God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? We learn from Paul that it is every kind of spiritual blessing, and that it is a blessing given in the spiritual realms, the heavenlies. And if you were here this morning, Chris was talking about this very thing. This blessing is an amazing uplift. It's like the child lifted up in a loving embrace, safe from grazing a knee or bumping a head. And so in this way, God sweeps us up in his arms. Believe it or not, we are already in a heavenly place when we are blessed by God, and it is a spiritual blessing that he gives us. But this doesn't exclude material blessing. What it means is that the material depends on the spiritual, the heavenly overarches the earthly and transforms it. And the child that has been picked up runs all the better for having been comforted. Now, Paul goes on to spell out what every kind of spiritual blessing entails. First, this is a blessing from having been chosen. So when did God choose us? God told the prophet Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And Paul, who had that dramatic experience on the Damascus Road, also knew that he'd been set apart from birth. But it's not just for Jeremiah or Paul. It is for us. Us here, and of course, especially those being confirmed today. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Just think of that. And it is here that the basis of Christian strength contrasts so dramatically with the atheistic or agnostic standpoint. Recently, I read Bill Bryson's short history of nearly everything. And he begins by congratulating his readers on their brief existence. He tells them that to be alive in the 21st century and to be smart enough to know it, you have to be the beneficiary of an extraordinary string of biological good fortune. And Bryson goes on to elaborate on the twists and turns of evolution that over millions of years have resulted in this short time at least, for you to be you and me to be me. Now, if that were only all that we are, we would be nothing compared to what the gospel reveals to us and what Paul so wonderfully expresses in Ephesians. Because we are not just biological conjuring tricks featuring in a brief show. We are children of a heavenly Father, valued by him from eternity. Think again how this works on a purely human level. A baby longed for by human parents and then unfailingly loved and affirmed grows up strong as a child. And this, multiplied many times, is the blessing for which God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, chose us. Far from making us proud, this choosing and blessing should humble us, but also gives us a deep sense of security. So how important this is for the younger people being confirmed with so many pressures facing them, challenges, but important too for older people. And confirmation points us to this vitally important source of strength. But also, and Charles, I'd like another picture, another slide, strength comes from God the Son, who redeemed us with his wisdom. And now we move to another amazing strengthener for us as Christians. We've already seen that God's choosing of us should make us humble. It should make us even more humble to remember that he chose us knowing that we would rebel against him. So in God's amazing grace, we have not only the choosing of the Father, but the redeeming of the Son. Wonderful truths woven together in Paul's outburst of praise. In love he chose us to the praise of his glorious grace. In grace, in Christ, we have been redeemed through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. And God's grace was not withdrawn. Instead, at immeasurable cost, he brought us back and is mending a broken world. We are restored and forgiven. Now, I wonder if you connect forgiveness with strength. Now, to receive the Lord's forgiveness is clearly not just a matter of thinking, phew, we're off the hook, and then get ourselves hooked up again. God's forgiveness, truly received, is a liberation. Because instead of vainly spending our energy fighting battles we can't win, trying to justify ourselves when in our hearts we know we are not what we claim to be, we give all that to the Lord who has forgiven us. And then it is that our God-given energy is released for doing really good things. There was an outburst of new energy in Europe at the time of the Reformation when this doctrine of free forgiveness came to the fore again. Now take note, this forgiveness of God, this grace of God, does not come in a trickle. Paul tells us that it is lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Our forgiveness, our redemption, is a part of God's wise purpose, the wisdom of the cross. And it comes with the gift of understanding. And at the deepest level, we know where we are going because God knows where he is going, working out everything according to the purpose of his will, his good pleasure to be put into effect when the time comes. And whether we are young or old, there are many things we do not know, but knowing that God's purpose of love for us and for the world he has made will not fail is a great source of strength. And confirmation also points us to this great energizing truth. Now, thirdly, strength from the Spirit who guarantees us for heaven. We began by asking what kind of strength does a Christian have? And we can't just talk about strength, though, without talking about weakness. And we as Christians may be more conscious of weakness than others. We know how far we fall short of God's holiness, how our lives are perhaps just a pale reflection of what they might be, how our moods fluctuate. Our mood may, of course, help us, or not indeed, to respond to Paul's great outburst of praise. And then there's another thing. God's purpose, which is immeasurably great, is worked out through weakness. The man on the cross, apparently a helpless victim, the foolishness of preaching, apparently producing no response. Paul, one of the strongest of the apostles, confessed that he despaired of life itself in Ephesus, the very place to which he was writing this letter. Okay, we may be sure of God, but can we be sure of ourselves? What guarantees have we got that we will finish our course? And this question brings us to the third source of Christian strength that gives it its completion. Strength from the Spirit who guarantees us for heaven. Paul tells the Ephesians, having believed, you were marked in Christ with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Paul speaks of the Holy Spirit as a deposit, a first installment, guaranteeing our inheritance. And this is the kind of deposit or first installment that makes it certain that all will be paid. God is paying out for us. He is spending on us a fortune. His gift of the Holy Spirit is the assurance that all these riches will follow. And for us, the Holy Spirit is both the starter and the finisher. From the start, he convicts us of our need for Jesus, our sins. He sets us on the Christian road, and knowing our mood swings, he is the great encourager. He stands beside us and lives within us. His voice, an intimate voice, his presence, a powerful presence. What he begins in us, He will never leave unfinished. He guarantees our ultimate inheritance, a place in heaven. Now, confirmation is definitely a strengthening for a lifelong commitment to Christ and his service. And that, of course, may sound a bit daunting when you are young. But the older you get, the more grateful you become when you discover what the Christian life involves in an unfolding story. Should heaven, though, be on your agenda even when you're young? Actually, yes. If you are heavenly minded in the right way, you will be more earthly use. And it is the Holy Spirit who gives us not only the strength to persevere through to our death, but also to look beyond it. And that gives us an added strength as well. How interesting I find that this letter to the Ephesians that begins with this outburst of praise for the glorious Trinity strengthening us continues with a Trinitarian prayer for strengthening. And we read this in chapter 3, the second part of chapter 3 of Ephesians, and perhaps tonight you may care to read this for yourselves. Because in it we find Paul kneeling before the Father, reflecting that whether on earth or in heaven, we belong to the Father's family, this great belonging that I referred to at the beginning, realizing that whoever we are or wherever we are from, it is the Father who has given us our name, our identity. And then comes this great prayer for strength out of God's glorious riches, power through the Holy Spirit in our inner being, the indwelling Christ rooting and establishing us in love, the ability to grasp with other Christians the dimensions of God's love, dimensions that come to us through the blessing of the Father who chose us, through the Son who redeemed us, and the Spirit who seals us for heaven. Truly, God is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. And notice, this is for all generations. Now, in a moment, we will be having the laying on of hands for the 9 of you being confirmed. And this is with prayer. And all of us can join in. And we are praying for this very special kind of strength that comes from our loving Father, our living Savior, the loyal Spirit, who will never let us go. To him be glory in the church, in our generation. Amen.